We are on page 351, 352 at the bottom. In English, it's where the dot triangle is nonetheless. And in the Hebrew, it's makom makom. We talked last time, answering a question that he raised, that what happens if a person repeats a sin several times? We said in chapter 2 that if a person does certain various sins that are prescribed in the Kabbalah, that he's supposed to fast so many and so many times, and if he fasts, if he sins the same sin over and over again, so what's he supposed to do? So according to one opinion, he's supposed to fast the number of times that he sinned times the number of times for that are relevant for that specific sin.
Yes.
According to another opinion, he's just supposed to do it one time that he's supposed to have sinned that number of sins. Mm. And we come up with a pshara, a bit of a compromise, that a person should really fast three times the number of sins times the number of fast that he's supposed to fast.
Right.
And again, let me give the caveat: don't do fasting from now till the next 20 reincarnations. Yeah, don't give me. I'll give you a caveat right now. Don't do anything. Okay. So he says. Now, kol bal nefesh hachavas bekaravas Hashem l'sakin nafshei olai shiva olai Hashem b'tshuva mu'ula mina muvchar. Anybody who is a bal nefesh, let's talk about that soon, who desires to get close to Hashem and to fix up his soul and to get closer to God with a much better, the choicest type of tshuva, comma. Now, what's a bal nefesh? It's described in the Gemara, there are two different types of people. Not that there are just two types of people, these are ones that are just described in the Gemara, because we don't have anything in the middle that's described in the Gemara. If somebody is referred to as a Baal Busser, in modern colloquial Hebrew, a Baal Busser would be translated as corpulent.
Indeed.
But the word okay. Baal Busser meaning having lots of flesh.
Yes.
Okay, so how would you translate a bal nefesh, somebody who is like, there's no such word as incorpulent, but it wouldn't be a skinny person.
Right.
That's not what a bal nefesh is. And a bal busser is not necessarily a fat person.
Right.
A bal busser is a person whose main preoccupation is with the physical world, which that really basically is the vast majority of us.
Sensual pleasure.
Our primary focus is the physical world.
I mean, difference between.
I mean, that's what you would call in between you and me. That's what you call a normal person.
I mean, some people are physicists and like nice cars and technology, and some people like
all of the above.
Some people like good steaks and fancy wine.
Correct. And a person could be a ball buster if he has black bread and herring too. Doesn't have to be necessarily. And I got news for you: a person could be a ball buster and fast all the time.
Yes.
But they like private planes.
They get fasting.
Nice right.
They get off on fasting.
It's the eye.
Yeah, that's sort of what the Baal Busser is.
It's the eye.
Now, Baal Nefesh, you might want to translate it as a spiritual person. But we have an instance, there are two instances where it's talked about a Baal Nefesh, an example of a Baal Nefesh. Okay. A Baal Nefesh is described, it says in Birchus Hanenin, a person who wants to, there's a discussion as to the blessing that you're supposed to make on rice. Okay, there's all kinds of questions because the Gemara talks about something called Aros and something called Duchan or Dochan. Okay, and there's a discussion: is Aros rice, is Aros millet, is Doichan rice, is Doichan millet? And they get confused. They get confused between millet and rice. One of them is for sure a shahakol, and the other one is for sure a mazainis. And we don't know which one is which. If the rice is the we know that it's called Aris is a mazainis. No, it's called Duchan is a shahakal. But we don't know which one is which. If millet and rice are a shahakal or a mazainis. So Moshe Feinstein says that you should say mazainis for both and say Barei Nefoshos afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because you can get full to the point of satiety from rice and from millet. Okay, so therefore he says you should say Bremen Mezonis. The Alter Rebbe says in Shulchan Aruch and Berachas Hananan that you should say Shehakol on both. Mm-hmm. Because Berachas Shehakol Lahakol. Let's say that, that what we call rice is really what the Gemara thought was really millet, and the bracha should really be Shehakol, and you said a Mezonis on it. You didn't say the right bracha.
Right.
If it's supposed to be a Mezonis and you said a Shehakol on it, mach mishois.
You managed.
Okay, so therefore he says, because it says Safek Brachos Lahakol, which means if we don't, not that if you don't know what the bracha is, if you pick up a fruit, that now with the modern luxury of importation, we have things sitting on our grocer's shelves that we haven't got a clue what they are, and there's a sign that says that this is a such and such, and you buy the thing and you haven't got a clue, is this a ha'etz or a ha'dama?
Right.
So what do? You say shehakol. You say hadama, or you say, you know, worse, you say a shehakol. Okay, so it's because you don't know what the bracha is. No. There are people who know what that bracha is. When it says safek bracha lahakol, you have to go find out what the bracha is. When it says safek bracha lahakol, it means that it's impossible to determine what the bracha is. Is rice rice or is rice millet?
Uh-huh. But not because of it just being ignorant.
Not because you are ignorant. Yeah. No, you have to go find out. Go ask the question. And pretty much now, with our smartphones, you could be standing in the store, and you could go Google it, and find out, you could put in the bracha for fajoya, or breadfruit, or whatever, and can get an answer, and I'm sure it would be on your smartphone in minutes, depending on what kind of network you have. Okay, so but the Alter Rebbe says, therefore, that on rice and millet, you should say shehakol. Mm-hmm. But a bal nefesh should only eat rice in the middle of a meal. Meaning, you washed for bread,
right?
And now you don't have a problem
with whatever it is,
with what the bracha is.
Right.
Okay? So, therefore, what is it? And then the other example we have of a bal nefesh involves also the Alter Rebbe, is right here in Tanya. And what is he talking about? Fasting. Which is not eating. So what then is what is this person worried about? If this person was a Baal Nefesh, she was so worried about being spiritual, we're talking about somebody who has to fast a whole bunch of sins.
Right.
Is that person a spiritual person? He's sinned. He did something wrong.
I was told before the war, your average Jew fasted Mondays and Thursdays. Just like your average.
We discussed this all last week.
Sorry.
Yeah. So this is we're talking about the Baal Nefesh. Here you always thought we determined what's a Baal Nefesh is a spiritual person. Yeah. And here, so what are we saying is a Baal Nefesh, a person who's done so many and so many sins repeatedly.
So that he has to fast.
So that he has to fast a whole number of times.
Right.
And we tell him that we already said that since it is that we're so weak, that we can't possibly fast that number of fasts. And he tells them a person who does that fast, that many fasts, when they don't have the strength, who is also called a sinner.
Right.
So therefore, what's a Baal Nefesh? We have two examples of what's a Baal Nefesh. One of them is like, okay, this guy's not worried about the physical world, and he's not worried about his body. But if this guy is washing for bread and having rice, I got news for you. In a short period of time, this guy's going to be a ball buster. He's eating way too much carbs.
Indeed.
Okay, and for this reason, unfortunately, I can't be call myself a Baal Nefesh, because if I'm going to have a piece of bread, that's already my carbs for the meal. And I can't have the rice. If I want to eat the rice, I can't eat the bread. So I say shehakol. I don't play the game. Some people play a game that they'll have a piece of mezonis, and they'll have a piece of hadama, and they'll have something shehakol. The Alter Rebbe never says that. The Alter Rebbe clearly says, either say shehakol, or wash for bread. So here we have this Baal Nefesh. It's I once asked a mashpia on 770 this question. You talk about this guy, he laughed. He laughed at the question. he said, "Your Baal Nefesh, what is he worrying about? He's worried about eating bread eating rice in the middle of a meal and fasting the appropriate number of fasts because of the number of sins." And he just walked away laughing. I said, "What about the answer?" He said, "It's such a good question." That's as far as I got. Anyway. Thank you very much.
I appreciate that.
So he really appreciated the humor and the insight. So the so anyway, so the so what then is this Baal Nefesh that the Alter Rebbe is referred to? Okay, what's the deal? Let's say a person says a shahakol on something. Mm. If rice is supposed to be shahakol and you said a shahakol, no, you'll get shlishi for it. But what happens if the bracha on rice is really mezainis and you said a shahakol on it? Mm. What's the deal? Is bidiavad, post facto, once it's happened and you've said the blessing that God made everything in the world, and since rice is something that Hashem made in the world, so it fits into that category. So post facto, okay, we'll let it slide by. But a Baal Nefesh is not going to be a person whose relationship with Hashem is one based on sliding by. That's where the difference is.
Yeah.
So as I was saying, you can have this Baal Busser who's going to fast all these fasts over here. Okay, but his relationship is, well, I paid the price. I should be, hey, listen, I did what I'm supposed to do.
That sin was really worth it.
I know, I did the sin. I feel bad about it. I fasted the number of sins I'm supposed to fast. I'm a tzaddik.
Doesn't make you a tzaddik.
Because I did what I'm supposed to do.
Doesn't make you a tzaddik.
Okay,
it gives
maybe
you a better relationship with Hashem.
Therefore I have just established I have made a better connection with Hashem. There's one thing though.
Well, you've balanced
remember what we talked about. We said a bunch of times. Going back to chapter one of Agaras Tshuva, is the definition of the word kapara, is atonement. So who's doing the atoning? Is Hashem.
Hashem, that's right.
On Yom Kippur, who's busy? Not us. it's not our call to go start forgiving. We're just trying to get Hashem to forgive us, to atone for that we should be atoned by Hashem. If Hashem has got to get off his duff, you should pardon the expression, and do the atoning.
Yes, indeed.
Okay? So this person who is a Baal Nefesh is, back up a second. So this person is a Baal Busser, and he's already fasted. And he said, okay, I've gone through the ropes, and therefore, since I've fulfilled the prescription, therefore I should be 100%. Doctor writes you out a course of medicine because a person's got a certain illness. And therefore, I've gone through the prescription according to exactly how it's been dictated, and therefore I should be all better.
Well, the Rebbe says an aveira is a permanent mechitza between us and the Eibishter.
There's nothing to be permanent.
But an aveira,
no. The Rebbe never said such a thing. It's not. You're missing a word. It's not permanent. There's no such thing as permanent. That's what a Agaras Tshuva is all about, to show how it can be taken down. Okay, so this Baal Busser, this person who's looking and saying, look, I'm doing everything the book tells me to do. I should be, 100%, I should be getting an A+. Yeah. Okay, you have many stories involving the Baal Shem Tov, of people that came to the Baal Shem Tov. I fasted 40 days straight, I didn't see Eliyahu, I wear white, and I don't speak Lashon Hara, all kinds of things. The Baal Shem Tov had all kinds of answers for these people.
Yeah.
Okay, like the guy came to the Baal Shem Tov and he wanted to impress the Baal Shem Tov, how he wears white clothes, and he doesn't talk Lashon Hara, and he rolls in the snow. And when he came, the Baal Shem Tov was patting his horse. And he asked, wait, why are you patting your horse? And he said, you should know, this horse you see wears white, it doesn't speak Lashon Hara, rolls in the snow, you know, a blipped affair, he's still a horse. Okay, so because you think how much you're doing and how great a job I'm doing,
yeah,
you know, it just goes back to the idea, you know.
Humility.
When I was first married, so my wife used to ask me, I'd come home a little later from davening, and she'd say, did you have a good davening? She doesn't ask me the question anymore. Because if you can say, I had a good davening, you did not have a good davening.
Right.
And if I could say, no, I didn't have a good davening, well, there's one of two things. Either I did have a good davening, or I didn't have a good davening.
So there's no
way to answer the question. You can't answer, did you have a good davening?
I hope I had a good davening.
You could say, I tried at least, you know, whatever, put forth some effort, and, you know.
Completely right.
The question was, she didn't ask me, it was how do I know if my tefillahs are mekabel?
Yes,
that's a shem. Okay? So basically, if you want to know if I had a good davening or not, you have to go ask Hashem.
Yeah, the answer is yeah.
And in a way it was described to me,
you have to say, wait and see.
37 years ago.
Yet to see.
37 years ago. When I was in Morristown, and people were encouraged to take longer davening on Shabbos day, so someone came up to me, and here it was, I'd been for maybe 6 months, and I started doing it, and he came up to me and said, oh, I see how you daven today. Tell me, did you hear the angels applaud as you were davening?
Oh, you gotta be kidding me.
She said yes.
No. He was getting down on me. What do you think you're doing? What do you think you're doing? You put on a performance for the angels? What are you doing? You know, who are you fooling? You've only been frum for 6 months. What do you know? You know, so, okay, so I felt bad a little bit, and then whatever. So,
wow.
You can't, and if a person feels, oh man, I'm really in a groove, I'm really having a good dive, and this is really great stuff, man, wow. Mm-hmm. You're just fooling yourself. It's a Yetzirah. Yetzirah's got lots of tricks, and there's a Hayom Yom from 2 weeks ago that the Rebbe Rashab said, that if you're coming to davening, and at the time of davening, you decide you'd rather learn a mimer so you get more in the mood, or you'd rather spend time doing his bainanos. He's sitting and thinking about the greatness of Hashem. But he said, since it is that it's keeping him away from doing the davening, that he's supposed to be davening,
right.
It's a Yetzirah.
Yeah.
And the Rebbe Rashab said, till that time, not only didn't I know that there's no such thing, that there's such a thing called a Fruma Yetzirah, but who would have ever thought there's such a thing called a Hasidish Yetzirah?
Indeed, yes.
Rabbi, we need, like, did you daven for Mashiach in the Gula Shlema? Things are like, yes.
If I've been doing that for 37 years, what's it helped? You know,
yeah, but
we're still here.
Yeah, but saying that's why we're still davening. I'm saying, was your davening good? Well, was the Gula Shlema here yet? You know, obviously not. So you know that's why we're still.
There's a lot more to asking for requests to davening. So
yeah.
We'll have to have a shir on prayer one day. So, but yeah, davening is just a lot more than just asking. Okay. Maybe when we get done with Tanya, we'll do something like Kuntres Hatzfilo or something. So that's a Baal Basar. What then is a Baal Nefesh? He wants to have the best possible relationship that he can make with Hashem, and he doesn't want to ever be in a situation where he's going to have to rely on Bidi Avid. On post facto, it's okay. You can't do any better, but okay, you did this, it's all right. No, he never wants to put himself into that situation. That's why he washes when he wants to eat rice. Because maybe there's the outside chance that the rice really is a mezainis. And if it is a mezainis, he wants to say the bracha borei minei mezainis, that Hashem has created various types of sustenance, and rice is one of those sustenances that he wants to thank Hashem for giving him. He doesn't want to just rely on it's a shahak hilniya bedvar, that everything was created by his word.
He doesn't want to wash and not be able to bless the rice.
He wants to do the right thing. And since we don't know, because it's safek brachos lahakel, the rabbanim themselves don't know what bracha to make on it. Okay. If you wash, you automatically fulfill the obligation. There's no question whatsoever. His relationship with Hashem is working. It's firing on all eight cylinders, because no one would ever say that a person who has washed should make a bracha on rice in the middle of a meal. There are other things that you make a bracha on in the middle of the meal. If you make a hagafen, or if you have a fruit cup beforehand, or dessert afterwards. Okay, what would happen if you had rice for dessert? No, okay, good. No, we're not going to go there.
We consider you a very poor soul.
Rice pudding.
Tapioca is very popular.
Rice pudding is the shahakal, according to every opinion.
Yeah, I know.
No question about it.
Sometimes you just have sweet rice that's not like a pudding, where it's just rice with sweet, like, sugar and
Yeah. Okay, that's what I'm saying. If you just do that, okay, you're back to... you didn't gain anything.
I'm Zonos anymore.
It might be.
You better go find a piece of pie.
If you put out, if you, like, for your 10-year share, if you put out, like, a small thing to nibble on, and it was, like, rice cooked with sugar and cinnamon.
Okay. Oh, I put out, like, some mochi or something like that. Yeah, okay. But that's for sure a shahakal. Anyway. So I don't want to, like I said, I don't want to get ridiculous. Okay. So that's a baal nefesh. A baal nefesh is a person. So here, what is it? Unfortunately, it says, I don't know what book it was I read this week. It was some book I was reading on Shabbos. What was I reading on Shabbos? Maybe it was Sefer from the Tzemach Tzedek. Unfortunately, I don't remember right now. That said that, for the most part, there isn't a person alive who didn't sin. Okay, it wasn't talking to the Tzadikim Gemurim. But the average Joe in the street has done something wrong. So this person realizes that, you know, people do have slip-ups. You know, we have a Yetzirah, and our judgment gets clouded. That's what, you know, this guy who's really working on himself. And he's like following on, he's flowing on eight cylinders, and he's really in a groove, and he really wants to serve Hashem. Guess how big his Yetzirah is? Huge! Because the Yetzirah is not going to say, man, that guy's cooking, The guy's Yetzer Tov is cooking, the guy's Yetzer Hara is just as strong.
True.
And someone told me before I was married that when you get married and you're under the chuppah, there are so many things going on spiritually. And the kala walking around the chosen is seven times. You're drawing down the makifim of the chuppah into panimi. And it's giving the chosen and kala an extra charge to their nefesh elokis. And therefore their nefesh elokis is much stronger and able to serve Hashem better.
Amen.
And I went, wow, that's awesome. And he said, don't get excited. Because every time your nefesh elokis gets stronger, your Yetzirah gets stronger too.
No.
Because there's always Elu Mazeh. God creates them in balance, in equilibrium.
Yes.
So this guy, he's really working. And what happens? Unfortunately, he's the type of person that we talk about in chapter 11 of Tanya, not in chapter 12. But chapter 11 talks about the rush of a Tovlo. He feels bad about it. He slipped up. And there it says, Shalom Ber Gordon used to say that the person that the Alter Rebbe describes in chapter 11 as being a Rasha is a person that you would have no problem presenting a Pidyon Nefesh and asking a bracha from. This is a person who once in a while has a little slip up, says something wrong, thought about something wrong, but he didn't even think about doing it, he just thought about thinking about doing something wrong. And right away pushed it away and corrected the situation. And according to the Rizal, he's got to do some fasting. Mm-hmm. So even such a person like that, okay? But that's not the person we're talking about. We're talking about the person lower down on the bottom of the page. Where it gets to the person that he's sinning more frequently, and he has charata every time he does it. So this person really wants to be serving Hashem.
Well, in theory, if you do proper tshuva at night, you could still be a banani. If before you go to sleep at night, you do
100%.
You're still a banani.
That's as far as you. But to get and have the relationship that you want with Hashem, you got to do something more. And that's what he says over here. What is this balna to do? He says over here, Lehashiva el Hashem b'tshuva me'ula min ha-mufchar. To do the tshuva, the best absolute tshuva, the choicest way possible. the finest and most preferred repentance, as he says in the English.
Yes.
So what should he do? Yachmer al atzma lahashlim al kolponim pam achas kol yomo chayiv misper hatzumas l'chol avin v'avin ma'avonis hachamorish shachayavim aleihem nisal kolponim. That what should he do in the course of his lifetime? He should fast. We already said, don't fast. Fasting is not healthy. It weakens you. If you have yourself now an excuse, I can't learn Torah because I'm fasting, so now you're over on Bittul Torah. But he says, this person really cares about it and really still wants to show and put up. So what should he do? Fast once the number of times he's supposed to fast, not for the little things. I guess the little things would be like, I don't know.
If you want to say, get angry for half a second.
If you want to get angry, but anger, the Alter Rebbe later on equates with idolatry. So
just one instant of anger, you got to fast 80 times.
Yeah. So what's the better? Don't get angry. So what's going to be considered not? Well, he says, okay, a sin that would be chayav misa, for example. Okay, if a person did something so heinous, and there are, 50-something sins that a person's chayav misa for, and for the most part, people don't do them anyway. I mean, 28 of them are having sex with somebody you shouldn't have had sex with, right, because you were too closely related to them,
right,
or they were same sex, or they were an animal. So that's 28 that we're never going to do.
Yeah.
Okay, and then there's chametz on Pesach, and eating on Yom Kippur when a person's not supposed to eat.
Mm.
You know, so, you know, and then the other ones, murder, adultery. Yeah, that's on there too. Murder, adultery. You know, so when you come to it, so blaspheming, kidnapping. You know, these are things that people don't. Baruch Hashem,
well,
we're not.
The fact is, people do.
We're not that heinous piece. If a person did something like this,
I mean, assumption is most.
And even if let's say, for example, a person, his wife went to mikvah on the wrong day, for example, there's something wrong with the count. Instead of her going on the eighth night, she went on the seventh night, for example. The way they're counting, she's still Anita. A woman who's still Anita, still counting, goes to the mikvah. She's still Anita.
Right.
Okay, so, and he has relations with her, so it's an accidental thing. In times of the Beis Hamikdash, she would have to bring a Korban Chatas. So we don't do Korban Chatas anymore, so let him fast a number of fasts. Okay, that type of person, let him do it one time. And how should he do it? Once in his lifetime. He says, like Kagain, Haitzasar, Levatala, Peidal, Tzamas, Pamachos, B'yamei Chayev. For the sin of masturbating, he should fast 84 times once throughout the course of his lifetime, and you don't have to do it 84 days in concession. On the other hand, on the contrary, he can push it off till the short day, since we're talking fast from morning till night.
Mm.
So it's a whole lot easier, and maybe you could maybe move to Alaska and do it in the wintertime. 20 minutes of fast. I fasted today.
Yes, I
did. And he'll fast 10 times in one winter or less. And it'll take him 9-10 years to finish off the fasts. Okay, good. This is a person who cares about it. Okay, and even this, there's a sicha in from the Rebbe. That was, I believe it was from Tom, no, it was a summertime. It was from 1984.
Mm-hmm.
And my remembrance is that it was in the summertime. But I was in Australia in the summertime. So it means it was in the wintertime.
Right, okay, sure.
So, yeah. So I don't know when it was, but I know it was in 1984 because it was the first year that I was in, maybe the beginning of 85, that I was in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And the Sikha basically negated this idea that the Alter Rebbe says here, of even
really?
That,
even the even, one time,
even the one time,
really?
Just to forget about it.
Wow.
And he negated in that same sicha. He also negated that it says back in chapter 20, the beginning of chapter 26, which is repeated again in chapter 29-30, of the planned oppression. and said, our deal is not to be depressed. Don't plan depression. If you could plan a depression, then you could plan to be happy too.
Happy too, yeah, have a good time.
Okay, so the Rebbe said, this is not for our generation at all.
Yeah.
This whole idea of fasting, you want to be such a, and on the contrary, what's going to happen nowadays, since we're in such a mess of our position is such, that people are in fasting. Like you wanted to say, before the war, you had people who fasted every Monday and Thursday. Okay.
But nowadays, work hard labor
nowadays,
in the longest days.
Nowadays,
people fast
that
like
people
this.
Aren't doing that. A person who does engage in that
only here in the West.
Is basically backpacking. And so even if he's going to only do this one time, 84 fasts, in the course of his lifetime, it's going to take him 10 years to do it. And if he doesn't move to Alaska for sure, he's a big bald gaiva. He's only doing it out of his own arrogance.
Yeah, for sure.
And if a person really wants to be humble and get into with Hashem, there's other ways to do it. Stick around until we get through with chapter 12. They say, don't do anything until we finish all 12 chapters. The Kam Yachal LeEchel Ma'at Gimel Shoyes Lifnei Neitzacham of Afal Piki Neshav LeSanis Im Hisna Kain. And then what happens is he can eat. You can eat 3 hours before dawn, and it's still considered a fast. If you made intention that that's what you're going to do, you have to go to sleep thinking I'm going to wake up earlier and eat.
Yeah.
Okay. And you can do that.
Why would you do that?
public fasting. This is for a private fasting. Yeah. That's what he says over here, that you can wake up and eat 3 hours. Yeah. This is three shas manios before the fast. But that would be before sunrise.
Right.
So let me just grab my handy whatever, pull it up over here, and figure it out. Today, no, it'd be much earlier than that. Candle, special times for your area.
Oh, it's a shuffle, yes.
Okay. For Oak Park. Okay. Neitzachama. I'm talking about Olas. That's what I'm saying. It's not Olas Lashachar.
No, it's Neitz.
Neitzachama is 5 to 6 today.
Oh, okay.
So. Okay.
3 hours Shah Zmanios. A Shah Zmanios is 76 minutes. So 76 minutes would be 228 minutes.
Right.
Okay.
Which is 4 hours.
Yeah, 30 or something.
Yeah, so that would put you back from 6 to 4 would put you back to 2 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
Okay. You might as well just sleep.
I was gonna say,
okay.
Why bother?
But that's not. Like, you have Shivasar Batamas coming up. Shivasar Batamas, Neitzachama is probably not going to be that much earlier than it is now because we're not getting that much earlier. So let's say it's 4:45 is Neitzachama.
Yeah.
We don't look at Neitzachama for Shivasar Batamas. It's a public fasting. We look at Olas HaShachar,
right,
and we look at the earliest Olas HaShachar. The earliest Olas HaShachar is 4 o'clock. Mm. So Shivasar Batamas in Detroit, you could wake up at 4 o'clock and eat, provided that you went to sleep thinking, I'm going to wake up before 4 o'clock and eat. You have to be done eating by 4 o'clock. Okay? Which in the summertime it doesn't much matter anyway, because if you're eating at 4 o'clock, by 10 o'clock you're going to be hungry anyway. So, I mean, if you're by Asura Bateves, so when you're waking up, you can eat until 6:45, and you eat a big meal 6:45, and you're hungry by, say, 1 o'clock, but you have till 5 o'clock and you're done anyway, so you made it through. But like this, you're not going to be able to eat for another 12 hours after you're hungry anyway, so what's the point? You know, so, but for a public fast day, you don't have to do the 3 hours before sunrise. You finish before dawn. Okay? Just as a clarification. Ubeis chatzah yayim nachshav liyayim echad le'inyin zeh. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. Ulatashlim reishnan beis tzamas anal yis'ana oy dalid pamim pei dalid ad achar chatzos hayayim bilvad. What do you do with the other 3 times? We said that what should a person do is he has to fast 2,952 times, which is 3 times 84, which is according to the number of 3 times the number of times he did this fast. Which, well, if he did it one time, it would be 84. So we said if he did it 10 times, he should really fast just 3 times. That's what he said in the earlier part of the chapter.
Right.
Okay, so what is he going to do now? So he's going to fast 84 fasts.
Right.
That means that he's got 252 take away 84. 4 is 278.
No, 178.
178 times.
Right.
Okay. What should he do with the other 178 times? Double it into, double it.
Right.
Which would be 100, what did I say, 172? So it's 344.
Right.
So 344 fast. He'll fast half days.
Perfect.
Okay? But you got to keep track of this stuff. It's like, huh? Yeah. That's like a year. Thank you very much.
You'd have to keep a portfolio sundown.
Chatzos is the halfway point between sunrise and sundown.
You'd have to have a portfolio.
Yes, indeed. Put it on a spread, an Excel spreadsheet. Yes.
That's a half day of daylight.
Half day of daylight, yeah. In Detroit, in the summertime, that would be about 1:30.
Does that have to be those South artists? Those are going to be for Chatzos tonight.
It's for, no. It has to be the first part of the day.
Has to be the first part.
I'm going to fast from lunch until dinner. Yes, thank you very much.
I'm just curious. I'm not a down that.
I want to do a half fast.
I want to do a half fast.
From 1:30 until dark. From 1:30 until 9 o'clock.
I'm not going to every day. I don't eat
from 1:30 to 9, I'm not going to eat. Yes, thank you very much. Okay, good. Okay, but even this that I've been negated.
Yeah.
V'kein l'shar avaynis v'yoytze b'haim asher kol leiv zara maris nafshe v'chavaz b'tzedaka. Okay, and so too it is any other time, any other fast that the person desires vindication. Okay, if it is that the person is really truly in this mindset, then, okay, go and do it. But I don't believe there is a person alive in 2013 who is a proper mindset like this.
In the West.
In the world.
In the world?
In the world. Okay, even all those holy dudes in Israel who are wearing the white clothes like that. Even them.
Even the Muslims?
Even if I don't care about Muslims.
Even if there was some Jew.
I don't
care. Even if there was some Muslim who turned out to be Jewish.
Huh?
Even if there was some Jew,
huh?
A Jew who was brought up as a Muslim fasting his whole life and finds out he's Jewish, he might be able to, because he's been fasting 30 days.
Dave, I'm going to stop you. You're hacking a shining. Sorry.
You don't think there's thousands of Jews that were brought up as Muslims?
It's not what he's talking about. It's unfortunate for them. But they're getting sold a bill of goods,
yeah,
and the fasts don't count.
Yeah, but I'm saying if they did tshuva, they'd probably be able to fast hundreds of times.
I got news for you. I've heard from several people who converted to Judaism that were able to do things before they were religious in the names of religiosity, which were very, very good things, that as soon as they became religious Jews, had such a yetzer hara against it that there was no way that they could repeat the effort. Because before they were Jewish, they didn't have a yetzer hara. What could I tell you? Okay.
A Jewish yetzer hara.
Weiter. A Cain. Let's see if we can finish this off.
That's interesting.
Okay, Misper Hatsumas Haidif on Rishon and Basic High Governor Shahayat Surah Lisanas Lahush Ladas, a Mahmir and Lisanas, but Misper Hatsumas Shaal Kal Chait Vachait Kafi Misper Hapamim Shahata Kanal, Yif the Kulam Bitstaka, Erech Chagim Opamim, Ba'ad Kol Yoim. This you could do. What happens? A person says, I'm not going to fast that much. I'm just not going to do it. It's just going to—it's going to kill me. It's going to take away. It's going to be my whole preoccupation. I'm not that—I am not that much of an arrogant person to fast that much. Okay, and for that, the person could even recognize. Listen, I may be arrogant, but I'm not that arrogant. Okay, I'm really arrogant. I'm probably, you know, but I'm just not going to do that. I just forget it. Okay, what should he do? Tzedakah. Redeem the fast with tzedakah. We know, for example, that if it's been told to me, I never actually saw it inside, that if you're in a room when a Sefer Torah falls on the ground, you're supposed to fast 40 fasts. You ever hear such a thing?
I've heard
40 fasts you're supposed to fast.
Right. Even just to fill in on Raptors.
Or the day, I've heard two of
it. Yeah, okay, you're supposed to fast. Okay. So, but what could you do? Is you could give the cost of your day's food to Tzedakah. which means that you're redeeming what you're eating.
Right.
And instead of using this money to buy food, you're using this money and replacing the food that you are eating and giving it away. So it's like you fasted that day. So that's already, that's fine. Okay, there are people who, for example, that I know that on Yom Kippur Katan, which is Erev Rosh Chodesh, which is for the tzaddikim is a fast day, that they give extra money to tzedakah to redeem the food that they're going to eat.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so such a thing like that, okay, good. V'kein shar kol tainish shetzarech lihis anis alaveres she'en behem misa. And also then, this is what we said that a person should do all this fasting for? That's only if it's a heinous crime. What happens if it's not something that's culpable of death penalty? Okay, what's going to happen if you had to fast a number of prescribed fasts for every moment that you wasted time? Guess how much? Yeah. And you know what? Between you and me, you couldn't even redeem that many in a fast.
You could be reincarnated a million times and still be
fasting. Varuvim nizkaren v'mishnas achasidim besechta tshuva, and there also Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, Rabbi Yehuda Achasid mentions this. B'kol asher l'kol l'bal yifta b'tzedaka kanal b'lo matzi l'tzar v'nafsha kanal. So, okay, so we know already, we talked about before, if a person has to give tzedaka for every positive commandment that he could have done and didn't do, he's going to wind up in the poorhouse.
Mm.
But we said before, and you know how to do that. It says, "Baz bezal yavaz is yaseh mechamesh." You're supposed to give a tenth of your income to tzedakah. And if you really want to, don't squander more than 20%. No, don't give more than a fifth. Okay, it's because the Torah now calls, the Gemara says, giving more than 20% is called squandering, it's called wasting. You're wasting your money. But the Alter Rebbe already said, who's that talking to? Somebody that's got no problems, got no sins, got nothing to worry about. If a person wants to give more, fine. If he's doing it for the sake of trying to get in good with Hashem, not that we're bribing Hashem. You can't bribe Hashem. Listen, Hashem, I did something wrong. Here's 20 bucks in the book.
Here's 20 bucks in the book. You gotta start taking indulgences. You'll get rich.
You'd have to give a lot of money to me in order for me to get you an indulgence. Yes. Anyway, Hashem's not taking the bribe.
Right.
It's not what it is.
Right.
It's not, I sin, therefore here's $5. It's, I've done some, I'm sick spiritually. And if I would spend more money than 20% on a medicine to cure me, I should therefore also spend more money than 20% to cure spiritual malaise.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully what will happen is by the giving of the extra tzedakah, the person's tshuva will be miskabel. Because what happens is a big thing. If a person says, I did something wrong, I feel sorry about it, I'm never going to do it again. So we said, this person did tshuva 100%. If he drops dead right then, chas v'shalom, they don't mention anything about the sin. It's gone. He's at square zero. Nothing. He's corrected it.
Don't you get a chelik in other people's mitzvah when you give like tzedakah towards learning, and that could possibly in some way...
Wait. Okay? So at that point, he's a square zero. Okay? But what happens is he doesn't want to be at square zero. He wants to get back to the way he was before he did the Avera. Okay? So if a person's going to spend an extra more than 20% to take this medicine so that he doesn't get sick again, so he's going to spend this extra bunch of bucks, whatever it is, so that he's not put in the same situation again that we would be forced to make that decision. We're told, how does a person know they did a tshuva shalema? How do you know you did a complete tshuva?
When you're in the same situation.
If in the same situation, in the same opportunities, and you don't do it. What happens though, Hashem cuts you a break. Hashem says, this guy did such a tremendous tshuva, I love it, he's terrific. You know what? He's never going to find out if he did Shuva Shalema. It's not his business. I don't care if I did Shuva Shalema. That's up to Hashem. If Hashem would rather have it say, you know what? That Finman, he's such a good guy. I'm not putting him in the same situation again. Okay, you would say, wait a minute. What about free choice? Hashem's not giving me the free choice to do that sin again. How much free choice do you think you have? Our free choice, we talked about it before. Right now, do any of us sitting around this table have the freedom of choice to eat a ham sandwich?
Yes.
No. Why?
There's no ham
sandwich. No ham sandwich.
We didn't give a time frame to eat a ham
sandwich. I said right now.
You mean right now?
Right this second.
Now.
Right this second, you do not have the free choice because Hashem, through Hashgacha Pratis, has put you in a situation, in an environment where you cannot be overeating chazer.
If you knocked on your neighbor's door and was like, you mind if I get a hand?
Then that's the next minute. Right this second, don't have it. You have the freedom of choice to pick yourself up and move to another place where you might have been and put yourself in that environment. Which would mean the divine precedence is such that...
Situation.
Exactly. Yeah. And what would be if a person would be like Chanach, that he decide, the person decides he's going to pick myself out of my living room and go to my next door neighbor who makes short ribs quite often on his barbecue in his backyard, and he decides he's going to knock on the guy's door, and on the way over, he spontaneously combusts. He didn't get a chance? Sorry?
Right.
Hashem did not want him to sin. Right. If Hashem does not want the person to do something wrong, he's not going to do that thing wrong.
Opportunity won't be given. That's right.
Okay? I don't know if I told you this story. I told it a couple of weeks ago. In Vancouver, there's a bridge that goes over like a bay that more people have jumped off this bridge than the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah.
Okay. And I don't remember the name. I think it's called the Victoria Street Bridge or something. I don't remember the name of it. Mm-hmm. Anybody listening online, you know the bridge, you can contact me, you know, so just hit the contact us on the
Jews
page.
Even Jews have
just I have no idea. One guy left a note. He can't do anything right in his life, and he's ending it all. And he jumped off the bridge, and he landed in a scow full of cow manure, and didn't die.
Right.
So he couldn't even kill himself, right? Because the Shem said, "It's not your time, buddy. It's just not your time."
Right.
It's almost as bad.
Okay. The Eloi Mitzad Le'Ashi said, Va'ashi Yala L'Sach Mesuyim. And he says now, even though it's going to be a lot of money, Ein L'Chush Meshum Al Yivazuz Yosef Mechamesh, don't worry about it being more than 20%. D'lo L'Mikri Bizbuz B'kei Agav Ma'acha Sha'asa Liftes Nasha B'tainus of Sigufim. Because he's using this as a cure, so he doesn't have to fast. V'loy gerua mirafua saguf v'shar tzarachav. It's no worse than if you pay. Listen, if your income is such that you have to pay more than 20% of your income for food, are you going to pay it?
Sure.
Yeah, you can do that too. It gets no difference than that. L'fisha misper hatzumas hamizkarnim v'tzikunim v'tshuva hanal ruba rava ma'oid ma'oid. If you're going to add a sit down and you're going to make an account, you're going to go through the books, and for every time a person is going to make a cheshbon and nefesh, you're going to see, I was angry this amount of times, and I did this thing this amount of times, and he's going to spend the rest of his life fasting or redeeming it. Lachin aga akshav kol hachadadim l'dvar Hashem. Therefore, anybody who reveres the word of Hashem, laharbis ma'od ma'od b'tzdaka, become a baal tzdaka. It couldn't hurt. It's a whole lot easier than fasting. We can't do it. Because the kindnesses of Hashem never end. And thus ends chapter 3. To be continued.